Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, everybody. This is Chris.
Good morning, Chris. All right, our sponsors today. We have the Belleville Meat Market, Texan Roofing, McLean Trailers, Mainstream Marketing, Waymore Silencers, Boyd's One Stop. And looking at weather right now, Galveston, it's 81 down on the island. Feels like 87. We're looking at another day of abundant sunshine, near record highs again, and high of 87 down on the island. It'll be much higher than that up here on the high ground, naturally. But south-southeast winds 5 to 10, and then for tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies, low of around 80. South-southwest winds at 5 to 10, and for tomorrow, considerable cloudiness, high of 88 with winds at north-northwest 5 to 10, so our winds have been down every day, and just what you ordered if you like to fish, and especially if you do it for a living. Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high coming up at 5 a.m. It's a 1.6 coming off of a 0.5 low last night. And then we have a low coming up at 10:08 a.m., a 1.3. Then a high at 3:21 p.m., a 1.6. And then another low at 10:11 p.m. tonight. It's an 0.6. 7:09 a.m. is sunrise, 7:13 p.m. is sunset, and our moon phase is 4%. And looking at current conditions right now, Eagle Point, over on the west side of Galveston Bay, it looks like south wind at 9 to 10, barometric pressure is 29.99 inches and steady, 83-degree air temperature, 88-degree water temperature, 87.8. That's quite warm for this time of year, unbelievable. And Morgan's Point, it's 80 degrees with 86-degree water. South winds at 3 to 6. So pretty much down across the board. Galveston showing about 1 to 7 out of the south-southeast. So it's quite calm this morning. Beautiful weekend ahead. Just a little warm still, but cool weather's coming for next week. Looking forward to it. All right, let's go over to Sabine Lake, and let's check in with Captain Bill Watkins, see what he's up to this morning. Bill, good morning. How are you, man?
Oh, man, finding a frog hair split three ways.
Boy, that's fine. That's as fine as it gets.
That's as fine as it gets, buddy. Actually, I had to take a couple of Tylenols yesterday afternoon. I got a new air conditioner installed, and right there where they put a new pad, big new concrete pad, that air conditioning system on.
Right.
And I had to reconfigure all my brickwork down there that I had, you know, on that side of the house where you can walk up to the electric box and all that and not be standing in the mud. And boy, lifting those big heavy bricks.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I had to do a double Tylenol yesterday. Whew, man. I'm back. Feeling pretty good again.
Well, that's called the, the aging process. Man, yeah. I don't know. I was down for about 3 weeks. I messed my lower back and hip up, and it turned out to be, ended up irritating my hip so bad it was turned into bursitis. The bursa sacs were inflamed.
Oh, man.
And buddy, you want to talk about dragging a leg and limping? Oh, my goodness. I don't want that.
Oh, yeah. That's,
but I overdid
that's
it.
That's good.
You know, you just got to use your head once you get to this certain age level. It just, but your brain doesn't function that way. You know you've been doing this forever, and you just keep doing things, and it bites. It does.
Yeah, if you stop, you won't ever get going again at our
age. No.
That's, you have to keep going. Your body was made to work.
Yeah, you just got to work through it, man.
Yeah. Only thing I fear than, you know, getting bad balance or something where I can't stand up in the boat or get out on all that stuff worries me because that's the end of it.
Yeah,
but, I
take time, you know, when that happens. I just, you know, you just... You've always done it second nature, jumping down the boat, crawling out, you know, this, that, and the other. And nowadays
right.
I think about it before I do it, make sure everything's legit.
And I'll tell you what I don't do. I do not crawl up over the nose of at the ramp.
No.
I will
no, that's not
do
good.
That. I stood up there today, and I was a little bit too far away from the wall to step over. Kind of made me nervous standing on the bow of that boat looking down at the concrete.
Right.
And I thought, man, that's a long down there. I fell one time when I was about 53 years old. My foot slipped off the tongue of the trailer, and I already had, you know, quite an armload of trailer in my... And, man, when my foot slipped, I went down on that concrete. There were several people come running over. Hey, you okay, man? I said, I don't
got
know.
A man
let me
down.
Let him think about it.
Yeah, let me go here and think about it a minute and feel it, you know. Yeah, I know. I fell off the bow of my boat at the car wash. I just stepped off the side while I'm running the wand.
And, oh, crap.
Oh, yeah, and I hit the ground, and I hope I didn't hurt the concrete, but I can't believe it. Nothing happened to me. I was a little sore the next day, but I was about 10 years younger than I am now.
Yeah, that you don't want to, you know, even a young man can totally injure himself like that.
Oh, yeah. I watched a young guy break his collarbone on a boat ramp a couple of years ago. You know, the tide was low. It was wintertime. And that algae that's on there, and he just backs the trailer in.
Yes.
His buddy drives it up, and he, you know, just bebops down there to do the winch, and his feet went straight up in there, and he came down on his left side and his shoulder, and it broke his collarbone, man. Young and a fit guy, too. That's crazy. You never know. Freak things happen.
Yeah. And, yeah, you can do that. And, you know, I always get one of my guests to tighten up the hook, put the hook in the bow and tighten up the winch because it's back just about 2 inches. And it bounces down the highway like crazy.
Yeah, you got to get that thing snug or you'll have that old, you hit a bump and that old bow's just beating that winch stand up, man.
And I just, you know, I caution them every time, do not let go. Hold on to the truck and be sure that you watch your footing because that stuff will bust your butt.
Yes,
I mean, I've had several young men run down there, you know, listen to me. Run down there, and I'd see both their feet straight up in the air.
Ooh.
Hey, man, you okay? I don't know. I think maybe.
The worst part about that is if you go feet up and then your back of your head slaps a ramp. That's real serious stuff there.
Yeah, or the bumper of the truck. I mean, there's several different things that you could do there that would hurt you. And, man, I'm telling you. But I'm gonna say something that I've been wanting to say for a long time. Alcohol and boating don't mix.
No, it doesn't.
Even if you're not drinking the boat, you know, I'll have young guys down, and it's mostly the young guys. they come down and they've been working themselves to death for 3 months and hadn't had a day off, and they overdo it.
Yeah.
And the lodge trips are the worst. Those guys are wanting to let their hair down big time, and they'll get in the boat already lit, especially on a cast and blast.
Right.
You know, or even a morning trip. Those guys, they're just too much. And then they get in the boat, and I don't really realize that they're drunk for a while. And then they go to drinking beer one after another. And I don't allow Mickey bottles in my boat, period.
You don't allow what? You broke up a little bit. Beer bottles?
I said, if you've got a whiskey bottle and a can of Sprite, you ain't getting in the boat with it. I just don't allow that. Because they will overdo it every time.
Yeah.
And, boy, that's a recipe for disaster. I've had guys get crazy and try to jump from boat to boat and land on the trolling motor of the other boat, and flip back into the water 25 foot deep and go. I had that happen last winter. I thought I had my first fatality. Guys, y'all just got to not do that. So I've learned to walk away from a trip if it's like that, because it's just, just too scary. That kind of stuff will get you in trouble. You know, a couple beers, that ain't gonna hurt nothing. Most guys can handle that.
No, moderate drinking's fine, but it gets carried away. I see that a lot at deer leases. I'm going, man, I'm kind of excited about going hunting in the morning. And a lot of these guys, they'll pour it down in the evenings after dinner and everything around the campfire, and then the next morning they're not out of bed. They totally missed their hunt.
And that's true.
Deer moving good, and they missed their window.
Yep. That happens. But if that's what you want to do, you need to stay in the camp.
Yes.
Don't be going out there with a gun in your hand.
No, not at all.
But anyway, that was my spiel for the morning. Anyway, have you been catching any fish lately? Have you got to go?
Man, it's okay. I mean, it's not great. It's not bad. It's just that, you know, okay-ish. You know me, man. I like catching big fish, and well, who doesn't? But that's what I'm into, is chasing big trout, and it's just not. We're not there yet. We're rebuilding, but. You know, I am seeing signs of improvement all over. You know, as far as, you know, with the water as salty it is, our fish are, I don't know how to put it. They're not scattered, but they're not real prevalent like big schools of fish. There's pods, you know, and you can find them in there. They bite good when you get on them, but it's just not where. I can't get all excited and fired up. I don't know how to spin it right. I can't put lipstick on a pig and make things look good. I've always been a tell it like it is person my whole life. But if we can keep the weather patterns we got now and no floods or no freezes and no other disasters, hurricanes or anything, we do have a future. We just got to take care of it and get it to come back. Raise more fish and have more fish and just keep what you need and let the rest go. And that's it, really. It takes a while.
Yeah.
You know, y'all went through a lot over there with fresh water and everything, but we went through a lot with other things, you know, and not to mention that little freeze that slid in here and that killed some fish, but we didn't have a whole lot to kill anyway.
That was fortunate. We did not lose hardly any fish in that freeze. We were very fortunate about that. I mean, I got out and rode around all over the place and was in contact with everybody else that was riding. And, you know, there just wasn't much of a fish kill.
See, our fish didn't float. Our fish didn't float. You could see them on the bottom because the water was so clear. It got so cold. And in areas that I was catching fish at before the freeze, you know, I re-ran those haunts, and especially like at bayou mouths where they meet the bay and things like that, you could see them on the bottom dead. And
it
was nothing like 90 and 83 and 89 those years, but we had, you know, millions of more fish then too.
Yeah, that's true. And
and it was more prevalent. You saw more dead fish because you had more fish, but it didn't kill all of them. I mean, it was minor compared to down the coast.
Yeah, it was, and sure, we did lose a few.
Yeah,
that was a pretty tough event. But by now, I'm still seeing, you know, still seeing once in a fish, there's some pretty good schools of them.
Right.
And right now, you know, we had that very fortunate event with salt water in the bay all year. And it scattered those fish up into the rivers.
Right.
And that has been in the skies. I mean, you know.
It saved a lot of fish.
The tide runners are leaving. They're pretty well gone. They've left the channel. There wasn't even many on the jetty the other day.
Right.
So that's kind of an early. But we still got fish up in the rivers, the resident fish, the resident trout. They're hanging in there. And I'm just waiting for shrimp to come out now. This heat, like it is keeping
it's delaying, things. It's delaying that dump shrimp. But hopefully next week, with the cooler temperatures and water temperature drops, we'll get more movement.
Because
it is hot, man. It is. Bill, let me do this break. I'll be right back to you, man. Hold that thought, and I'll come back at you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It is 420 here in the Bayou City. Let's go back and talk some more with Captain Bill Watkins. All right, Bill, we are back.
Great deal, man.
Tropical threat. It has formed into Tropical Storm Ian. And it looks like it's got its sights set on Florida big time.
And where do you think it'll go?
Yeah, first Cuba and then Florida.
That's what they're saying.
We're dodging a bullet.
And I sure hope so. I've sweated it out here. The further into August we get, the more nervous I get.
Yeah.
We have been through some events around here, man.
Well, actually, we're in September, Bill.
Yeah. No, I mean, I started sweating in August.
That's when
I start worrying. And then on through September.
All the forecasters had us sweating in June at the beginning of hurricane season. Remember, it was supposed to be the busiest year in decades.
Sure.
And, man, I was ready to stock the pantry.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we got a meteorologist over here. His name's Greg Bosch. He does not hype anything. And he'll be the first to tell you, those guys can't predict how many hurricanes are going to be.
No.
There's no way. They're hyping it up to get ratings for people to listen to. And that's just the way that works. And he gets irritated with it, you know, the sensationalization of all of that weather events. And
right.
And he doesn't think they ought to name winter storms either. He said, that's silly. So, you know, I kind of really, and the guy's pretty well dead on most of the time. He didn't miss as much. He's better than any weatherman I've ever seen around here. So, well, he's, something's coming, I listen. I start paying attention right then. But anyway, I'm sure nobody wants to hear me talk about weather. I'd be more interested in what's going on over here fishing-wise. So,
right.
It's coming. We'll have a pretty good fall run, I think. And I it's late, of course. But you can't, that's one thing that you never really can predict. Within a couple of weeks span, when those shrimp start moving out, and you can always hit that. But to say this is the day, I don't know, but you get a pretty good cool front and make the tide drop out. That's when it'll happen.
Right.
For sure. Or just a good flow. You know, it doesn't even have to get cool, really.
Right.
You just need that to drop. And they, you know, I think those shrimp probably go by the light every day more than they do cool temperatures. That has something to do. And I'm not much of a shrimp guy. I don't pay much attention to what they're doing. I just want to catch fish. That's all I want to do. My focus is a single focus. I put blinders on, and I don't think about anything but how to catch fish. And all of that stuff, I'm just kind of a casual observer. When they start moving, I know the fish with them. And there's got to be a lot of fish up the Sabine and this river.
Yeah.
That's pretty good-sized rivers. They've got a lot of depth to them. And the Sabine don't get that much ship traffic. It gets a lot of barge traffic on the intercoastal. But that doesn't really bother those fish that much. You got
to get used to it.
Yeah, they do, and they're going to. There's going to be a lot of them up there in places that I haven't even found yet. I'm always finding new spots when I get to fish in an area. You know, if you quit trying new places, you're going to get stagnant. You're going to be a whole fisherman. You're just going to aim those places.
I know. I hate doing that spot fishing, man, going and doing the same thing repetitively every day.
I do, too.
I like looking for new stuff, something different.
I'm always looking for fringe areas.
Yeah.
You know, close. Where is the little special spot on a reef? Here's a big old reef out there. And you're looking for that little spot on that reef that always holds a few fish. And that's the kind of stuff I really like to look at. And which way is the tide going, you know? Is it coming up out of the deep water running over that reef? And, you know, or does it work in both tides, in or out? I just love looking at that stuff.
We see a lot of that now. You know, with the lesser fish that we have. And plus, you know, a lot of these reefs have died to some extent, you know, and they're coming back, and just certain spots of them will have live shell on them. And that's where the fish are going to be. They're going to be where the live shell is. That's where the filtering's going on, and that's where the bait's going to, you know, coagulate. They're going to get all stacked up in that area, you know, where the filtering's going on, and attracts the bait, and then naturally the fish too. And we're seeing that a lot with some of these big reefs that we're used to in the past pulling up on, and, hey, the whole reef's covered in fish. But now just little segments,
right,
or little pieces of that reef will be holding all the fish. And if you don't get right on top of them and position properly, you're not going to catch them. You know, they're just cutting a blind drift across the reef and catching fish. That we don't have that anymore like we used to.
No.
Because of the decline of the, you know, oyster population.
Yeah, if you've got a section of it that's got live oysters on it, the fish are going to be. If you got a mud shell bottom with live oysters down there,
that's it.
That's going to be where they're going to be. So, yeah, that's exactly right. But we have some reefs that are they're hard built reefs, and they don't have any live oysters on them. But it's hard reef and some sand on it. And those things, that's where those fish are going to be there, because bait's getting pushed up out of that dental and shoved over the reef, and you can always find that sweet spot. You just tinker with it a little bit and cast, and all of a sudden you'll figure out where they want to, you know, if where they're coming through, they'll come with the tide, they'll swim with the tide, and they hit that reef, that upwell, they'll go to feeding right there. They'll ramp up. And all you got to do is be in position to cut them off fast.
Yeah.
When they come through, you'll catch whatever. You might sit there for 15 minutes, and you'll catch two or three, and then you won't catch anything for another 10 or 15 minutes, a couple more. And that's the only time that I'll sit and watch. That's the only time I can make myself do that, is when I know they're coming up deep water.
I'm with
coming
you.
Over a reef. Yep, I'll sit there and work on it and work on it, and pretty soon you got a box of fish. You know, fish you caught a bunch. Sometimes, you know, we do catch and release over here. It's not always about how many fillets you get, and I think that as Louisiana gets a little bit more into leaving the fish. I mean, I'm excited about what they're doing on the flounder this year. They have taken a note from Texas, and they're going to shut that flounder fishery off in November, and I guess first couple of weeks of December. They're going to let those flounder get through the passes.
Yeah.
And that's going to let anybody keep any of them. And I think that's what it's going to take to get the flounder fishery back up.
Right. Well, you know, I'm in agreement with that, and because they have noticed all of y'all have over there, you know, on the southwest end, all the way over towards Venice. You know, they've had a real good summer over around, you know, the Venice area, with good numbers of the guys that are fishing for them. But it's something that needs to be done. They know Louisiana Fish and Wildlife, they stay on top of things pretty good. It's just hard to convince, you know, they're sportsmen that, hey, we need to do this if we want to better our fishery. It's hard to to take fish away from those Cajuns over there, man. They like their meat hauling. They always have.
Well, I do, too. I've been better beef than a little trout. I love a 20-inch trout for me. For my purposes, that's the one I want to eat. I don't want to keep the big ones.
No.
I just love them.
No, if I'm going to eat fish, I'd rather eat a immature fish.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right, Bill. Well, I got to go, man. And if somebody wants to call you about coming over to Sabine and fishing with you and learning the lake and all that, how do they get a hold of you, man?
409-673-9211.
All right. Or fishsabinelake.com.
Yes, sir.
All right,
check
buddy.
Check me out on Facebook. Dead
all
book.
Right. That's it. Dead book, fish
right,
book,
buddy.
Deer book, duck book. All right, man. Hey, you have a good weekend, Bill. I'll talk to you next week. Be safe, buddy.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, later, man.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It is 4:35 here in the Bayou City. Let's run over to Lake Conroe and check in with the fish dude this morning. Good morning, Richard. How you doing, buddy?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fit as a fiddle and twice as high strung.
There you go. There you go. Well, shoot, I'm sitting around the house again today. I'll be out there tomorrow, though. So I'm ready for September to be over with. Good
night. Well, keep some days off so I can get you to come go trout fishing with me this fall when it cools down a little bit. I get something
going. I hear you. I need to. I'll tell you what, September, though, has always been the slowest dying month. I mean, good night. I bet I hadn't done 5 trips this month. It's crazy. Every year, same thing.
Actually, next week, I'm picking up. I got trips next week, and then, man, here we go. It's coming.
That's it. I mean, that's the way I am. About when October starts getting close, I'll start picking up trips. But as September is just amazing. I think it's just all school starting and everything else. I mean, it's just been that way the whole time I've been doing
back
it anyway.
Back to school and
yeah,
just a lot of money spent, you know, with the economy and,
the
way it is
and
stock market crashing and it's people's priorities change a little bit, man.
They do. It's like, but me, I'm still wanting to get out there and go. I mean, it's just, and I'll be out there tomorrow. It's just one of them things, one more day of sitting around doing stuff around here, and then I can go do something, go do what I want to do. So instead of hanging around here doing all this honeydew stuff, because I don't mind working on boats, I don't mind doing all that, but this honeydew stuff, no.
Well, there's just certain things that men aren't just, made to do.
Right.
I don't mind working if it's something I want to do, but when it's something I just don't know anything about or don't want to mess with it, it just, boy, it's like pulling teeth, man.
It is. I mean, and it's just like, good night. I just really don't want to do that right now, but it needs to get done, so you go do it. And then you do all the rest of the stuff, and then next thing you know, you're caught up again. Like right now, I need to get started splitting wood, but I ain't done that. It's too hot to start doing that, but oh well. I'll get that done later on. It's getting close, though, because it's going to get cold, and I'm going to need that wood, I guarantee you. Because every year I go to about a cord and a half.
You burn a lot of wood in the wintertime?
Oh, yeah, because I ain't got no electric heat. I ain't got no kind of heat, no propane, no nothing.
What do you use, a fireplace or a pot-belly stove?
I got a wood stove. I got a big old wood stove.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I had one of those in my house.
You know, I did it because, you know, one thing is I got, you know, all this dead wood around here, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, why do I need to pay for heat? I can chop wood and cut it up and throw it in there, because I remember, you know, when I was a kid, we had them old pot-belly stoves, and you'd actually cook all them and all kinds of stuff.
Set your old coffee pot up on there and sit around the fire. You could. Hey, man, that's good stuff.
I guarantee you. And I mean, I just liked it. You know, you get that smoky smell in the house in the wintertime. So I put the dang wood stove in there. Go from there. And it's, I mean, I get out there on
Not to interrupt you, but I was just thinking that probably came in handy for you. That was awesome.
It did.
During that freeze when we lost all our power, they kept doing those rolling blackouts on everybody.
Yes, sir.
With this new great energy grid we have here in Texas.
Yeah, buddy. See, that's, you know, that was one of the things. I'm always one of those guys that tries to think, you know, I like to have double. You know, if I've got a wood stove, what else can I keep? Have to keep me warm, you know. If I've got an air conditioner, what else? You know, a fan with a cooler knives, you know. You do whatever it takes to do whatever for that season. I mean, like, I've been sitting down there and Callahan State Park there in Rockport in a tent, 100 degrees, and them big old mosquitoes down there, too. And hook up a fan into blowing into a cooler full of ice into that tent. It cools it down. I mean, that's crazy what a cooler full of ice and a fan will do in hot weather. I mean, you figure all that stuff out, but it's you know, you get down there like that. That's just crazy. Wintertime, you just keep bundling up. A lot of times you say keep bundling up, but when you get cold, you got to take it all off. That's the bad part. Well, when you get cold, the more you got bundled up, the less likely you are to warm up very quick, because the heat will work back through those cold clothes. So it's just like if you fall in the water. Best thing to do, wintertime, you fall in the water, strip down to nothing. Get out
that's
of
it. Get all that wet stuff off.
Get it off, because it's the longer you're in it, the colder you're going to get. So you get out of that. I mean, I fell in up at Lake Palestine one time, and it was 30 mile an hour north winds, and I think it's 38 degrees, too. It was cold. And all I had left was rain gear. I chucked every bit of the clothes I had on off and into a rod locker and put that rain gear on. That's the only way I made it through the day. I mean, because it was cold. You get caught up in something like that.
Whoever's fishing with me, they're out of luck if I fall in the water at 38 degrees. Well, I'm going to the dock. It's over.
See, this is a tournament
end of
situation.
Trip, boys. I'll see you next time. I'm out of here.
I hear you. See, that's a tournament situation, though. And I guarantee you.
I just have to be a donator.
That's it. Well, see, there's a lot of times, you know, that's when I was young, of course. I don't donate nothing. I'm going to go play. If I'm paying, I'm playing. So that's just the way I looked at it. And I kept on fishing. I think I ended up checking in that tournament, too. I mean, it's funny, though. Years ago, it didn't matter. I'd fish anything. I fished a tournament up at Lake Limestone one time, in the first 10 minutes the trolling motor broke. And won it. Won that tournament with no trolling motor. So, and it had an anchor. I take an anchor and I chuck it out and drag myself up 10 or 15 feet and fish. And I, you know, when I'd get through fishing that area like that, throwing that anchor and dragging it, I'd crank up and move to another creek. Oh, yeah, that's how I fished that tournament, was with an anchor, throwing it out ahead of me and dragging it. That's amazing. When you're dedicated to it, and, you know, like me, that challenge is one of those things. Never back down from that challenge. No matter what it was, go do it. And if you got to win, you go win. That's no trolling motor, no problem. Go do it anyway. I've done that a couple of times. No big motor, did it on Lake Livingston. Cranking engine wouldn't start. Got on a trolling motor, went around Carolina Creek, won a tournament right there on the trolling motor. Did it up at Lake Limestone, throwing an anchor. It's crazy. You get out there and you think that it'll handicap you, and it will if you let it get in your head. But in a tournament situation, just don't let it get in your head. Just go fishing. And either way, you'll either do good or bad. There's no in between.
I know an old boy left his duck calls in the truck one time and had the best duck hunt of the year without them. He didn't need them.
There you go. See, same thing.
Hell, that ought to tell you something.
It ought to. That's the thing is, some of it works better if you don't have it. And it changes what you do. It changes how you do it. Like fishing a tournament without a trolling motor or with a trolling motor. Either one. It slows you down. You can't move around a whole lot. So, and I used to tell people all the time, I think I caught more fish out of a John boat and won more stuff out of a small, slow-moving boat than I did any of these big, fast ones. Because the big, fast ones, oh, I can go from here to there quicker. And you do it.
Right.
And a slow boat, I can't go but here and get back in time, so I go here. And that's what you do. You go there and you go fish. And, I mean, it's amazing. I sit here and watch some of these big bass tournaments sometimes. Like, you know, Bob Seeley has his deal at Fork and at Rayburn and Toledo and all that. And you can watch a lot of his tournaments, and the John Boat guys will win them every once in a while. I mean, they'll win them because they sit there and fish. They don't go nowhere. They fish.
I think, you know, if you simplify things, slow everything down, things come together for you better.
They do. It's just we tend to overcomplicate them, you know, and that's what I tell people. I tell people out there.
It's always harder to do things on your home water because you know too many things.
Exactly.
Instead of sitting with what you ought to be doing and sticking it out, you know too many areas and too many places and where too many fish are, and you just keep running and gunning, and at the end of the day, you look back and go, man, if I'd have just stayed at that first place, I'd have probably won. You know, that's just
exactly
hindsight, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the thing, and that's what I always loved about a tournament situation. No matter what, if I was fishing by myself or if I had a partner or whatever, at the end of the day, you're thinking about what could I have done differently to win, you know, or if you didn't win.
And that's when you do bad, when all the second guessing starts running through your head. That's when things
Right. But at the end of the day, that's why I always do it at the end of the day when I'm on the drive home. What did the guys do that won? What did they do differently than I did? Or if I won, what did I do differently than they did? You know, you keep analyzing. That was the one thing about tournament fishing. You always analyze what you did through the day, what you could change, how you could streamline it, and make it where you're more efficient throughout the day. That's one thing about tournament fishing. You have to be efficient. If you're not, you're going to be in a bind.
We've all been there.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it works, buddy. Well, hey, man, hopefully you'll start getting busy. Don't get too busy, though, because you may drop everything here before too long come. We're going to go spend a day together on the water, man.
I guarantee we are. There ain't no doubt.
All right, buddy. Okay. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about coming up to Conroe, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Well, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudestx.com. Or right, just check out the webpage, fishdudestx.com. Yeah, have
Richard,
fun, Mickey.
Have a good weekend. Good talking to you, my friend. See you.
Yes, sir.
All right, later. All right. That's Richard Totch up on Conroe. And let's run down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie P. Charlie, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Mickey.
What's going on? Oh, nothing.
Same old thing. Nothing new.
Still new. Same old.
Yep. Still school bus fishing over here.
Yeah. A lot of that going on right now.
Yeah. They're here one day and somewhere else the next day.
That's it.
Yeah. My people yesterday didn't show up till 8:15, and we still are right out waiting. I think they started catching them on the first cast, but they're all 15 to, 16 and a half inches.
All next year's fish.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you have some dead fish floating around you,
Uh-oh.
You got to handle it right, so.
Well, it is hot. The water's back to being real hot, and you got to watch it with these fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that water's unusually warm.
Yes, it is.
We need some weather change. Hopefully, we'll get it next week. I think that front's supposed to come Monday, Sunday night or something.
Yeah, Monday, and cool all next week. Cool mornings anyway, getting a little warm in the afternoon. Kind of that Indian summer pattern I like anyway. I like that. And
When that happened, a week or so ago, fishing picked up. So.
It did. It helped things.
Yeah. But, you see a lot of shrimp jumping in the water, and the redfish that were in the back lakes are they're hard to catch now, too. Just need a weather change. That's all we need.
Yes.
I'm
with you. A little water temperature drop and a little spark and energy for the fish. I mean, they're tired of the summer, too, just like we are.
Yeah, well,
I watched a guy on a video yesterday release a trout. It was a real nice fish. I think his wife caught it or whatever, but he's over the side of the boat, and he's got the boga grip and the bottom lip, and he's just doing figure eights and all this stuff with his fish. I'm going to go, man, I mean, just let him go. And then finally it swam off, and he said, making conservation efforts and all this. But, I mean, people go overdo it with these fish, dragging them backwards by the tail and running water through their gills. Just put them in the water and just hold them there upright, and they'll just swim out of your hands. I mean, they go to the extreme. They see it on TV and think that's the way you have to do it. The less you handle that fish, and I mean, I've never been a fan of holding a boga in a fish's mouth forever and just holding him upright. That just can't, it's like lipping a bass forever.
Can't be good. Yeah, and that trout doesn't have that jaw like that strong jaw like that bass does either.
No, he don't. And it's just hold it down in the water and just keep it upright, and he'll swim out of your hands when he gets his act together. He's just all wore out from the fight, and then you're dragging him all over with a boga, doing figure eights and everything else with him. And I don't know. Just my opinion.
It's the right opinion. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, but some may not think so. But it looks good on video. Hey, it looks real good. Makes for a great video.
Oh, yeah.
It looks good.
Now, we were standing on a reef yesterday, and I released a fish that I knew wasn't going to make it. He's going around in a circle.
You can always tell, can't you?
Yeah. And I told him, I said, if I did this in West Matagorda Bay, I'm getting away from that fish.
Yes.
And no sooner than I said that, boom, shark came up and ate
him. Boom.
Yeah.
Well, better the fish than you, Charlie.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, if I'm wading shark-infested waters, I mean, that fish is going to have to revive himself. I'm not going to sit there and play with that fish. He's out of my hand and back in the water real quick. I don't want a shark biting that fish anywhere near my hands.
Yeah. I've waited several days this week. I haven't got cut off by a shark this week at all. But every now and then you'll stick a fish and he comes out of the water.
You know he's got a shark behind him the way he's acting.
Yes. Yes. I do know that. And then we drifted one day this week and caught three sharks. So they're out there.
Yeah, they are. And it's kind of late for them to be here. Usually they're making their way to, you know, stack up on the beachfront in the Gulf, you know, making their move.
Well, I think there's so many small fish out there that they're satisfied with the food they've got out there to eat. They ain't going nowhere right now. Nowhere.
I got a text from old Chavo, a buddy of mine, my tire guy. He's down at South Padre Island, and he said, man, he's on the beachfront. He said, it's the most mullet he's ever seen in his life. He said, no wonder Brian Brer's catching all these tarpon down here. He said, it's a mullet run from hell. He said he's never seen them stacked up on the beachfront like that. He said, what it looks like, it looks like what Galveston Bay used to look like when we'd have big mullet runs back in the day.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of that this year. I did day before yesterday when we were waiting. I saw more mullet in an area than I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
These fish aren't wanting a top water right now either. They're not. You can drag a bait on the bottom. I can put a bass sasson on and just drag it on the bottom and catch fish.
Yeah.
You know, not even working. Oh, I don't know.
Charlie, remember Charlotte Harbor and all that Florida fishing we did, all that dead sticking. That look on your face that day when me and Blaine slid up to you with the trailer motor. Well, hey, Charlie, what's going on? And the look on your face, I was cracking up. Because remember, we were having to throw gulp up under the mangrove, skip it up under there, and just sit there and hold it like dead bait on the bottom and wait for a redfish to swim by and pick it up. God, I hate fishing like that.
Yeah, that day y'all slid up to me. We had redfish swimming all around the boat and couldn't catch them.
Yeah, you could look up. I was looking under your boat, and they're swimming through you, and I'm looking up under the mangroves, and they're swimming all under there. No bites. They wouldn't bite unless you just let it sit on the bottom and not even move it. It was crazy. I don't like that place.
No, I don't either. Or you had to put a pilfer on, which we didn't do. We couldn't do that. Didn't want to do that.
Hey, remember them guys throwing those pilfers? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's the way they fish.
We were down there by Burnt Store Marina or whatever it's called in that cove there, and there's big old schools of reds swimming all around in there over the grass, and we couldn't get a bite to save our lives. This guy pulls in with some old tourist, and he takes his net and fills it. He has this little plastic bat, one of them big wiffle ball-looking bats, and he fills his net up with pilfers and pours them in that bat. It's cut off on the end. He stood up on the bow of the boat, and all the redfish saw him. They just came to the top and swam to him. He slung those pilchards out there, and they just started blowing up all over him, and his customers threw in there, and they all bowed up.
Yeah.
They had pilchards on. And I looked at Blaine. I said, man, we're whipping a dead horse here. There's no way we can compete with that. We had to move. It's crazy. Yeah.
Crazy fishing over there. I don't want no part of it.
Nah, I like Texas, man. No, nothing better than Texas. Well, Louisiana, too. You know, we got it all right here.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, we do.
You fishing today, Charlie?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I got a boat fish today and tomorrow, and then wade fish a couple of days. So.
Yeah, I feel your pain. All right, buddy. Well, if somebody wants to call you and book a trip, come on over. How do they get a hold of you, bud?
Call me my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie P. Hey, it's always good talking to you. Be safe out there and watch them old sharkers.
Take care, Mickey.
All right. Thanks, Charlie. See you, man. All right. It's time for a break. Top of the hour. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.